Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Hashtag dads are awesome, right? Amen. Give all the dads a hand clap. Pastor Steve is panicking right now. He's like, does he have a sermon? No. What I want to do is I want to introduce my friend properly and a minister that I esteem very much and a gift that God has given to us at Vision Church. And so as events transpired and we were unable to have a special guest come join us today, I thought about that. I said, I think this is an opportunity for somebody I think is a great dad, Pastor Steve. And we've been longtime golf buddies and a lot of mentoring and coaching all along the way. He just has a fatherly spirit about him. And the best, I mean that the very best way I can, old man. I mean, Pastor Steve. And so I'm glad I'm here. It's not a case where we're out and the staff is go ahead and supply preaching. But I think it'd be very special for us to hear today from Pastor Steve on this Father's Day. So would you give him a warm welcome as Pastor Steve comes and ministers today on this Father's Day?
There you go. Thank you. Hello. Got me? Thank you for that very kind introduction. Almost made me cry. I'm Pastor Steve, and I'm going to try to fill Doug's shoes. I don't think I can, but thank you so much for trusting me today to do the Father's Day sermon. And welcome, dads, and all of you. You know who loves to hear Father's Day sermons? The women. Because they're elbowing, you know. Yeah, did you get that? So this is it. There was a father that won a raffle, and it was a toy. He had five children, so he came home and he thought, somebody's going to win this toy today. So he called his five children together, and he said, who is the most obedient to their mother? None of them raised their hand. Who never talks back to their mother? Nobody raised their hand. Who does everything mother tells them to do? All five children at once said, okay, Dad, you win the toy. I wondered where Father's Day come from, and here's a little bit of history. Sonora Dodd of Spokane, Washington, first proposed the idea of Father's Day in 1909. She wanted a special day to honor her father, William Smart, who was a Confederate veteran and had six children, raising them by himself on a farm. So the first Father's Day celebration occurred on June the 19th, 1910, because it was the month of his birthday. Yeah. All right. Well, let's run through here and look at a few of the pictures that I brought. This is called Adventures in Fatherhood. So, what is the most powerful wireless interactive device for learning and games available? The iDad. All right. What's the next one on there? There we go. I don't know if you can read that. Says, my children are very realistic. On his shirt, it says, one of the top third dads in the universe. Yeah. Top third greatest dads. All right. Okay, moving along there. So here's some things I want to say. Do you remember these? We're going to run through these pictures pretty quickly. Anybody remember that? What's the name of that? Okay, how about this one? All right. How about this? Man, y'all are good. All right. Samerson. I had to go ahead and put, I forget this. Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right. Brady. I didn't get them all. I just got a few of them. There's the Brady Bunch. And, of course, we can't leave out the Simpsons. Yeah. All right. I like this quote. This is from Jim Valvano, basketball coach and ESPN host. My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. And I like this from evangelist Billy Graham. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Well, 40% of American homes are fatherless. Over 30 million children in America have no idea what a father is. So on Father's Day, if they listen to a sermon, they're going, what's he talking about? And a greater number that don't know what a good father is. I think we all grew up with a little dysfunction in our home. So this is not the time to beat you up, but to encourage you. Men love adventure. You know, that's why they climb mountains. They get in a small boat and cross the ocean. Things that are difficult, things that are adventurous. They want to go on a hunt. They want to play golf. They want to go fishing. Men love adventure. Let me tell you, the greatest adventure that you could ever go on is being a dad in a family. That's the greatest and the most rewarding. Think about Abraham. He was called to an adventure, and it's called fatherhood. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we always mention them. Talking about founding fathers. They were there. They're the big three in the Old Testament. Did you know every one of them failed as a father? Every one of them. None of them were perfect. Yet, God never forsook them, kept his covenant with them, calling them the father of nations, and from their loins came the Christ. So, good news, fathers. You are specially equipped to do your job. God hasn't left you alone. God didn't just say, you got it, go for it, hope you make it. No, you are especially equipped to do your job. Learn from him, for he is the perfect father. And I believe that fathers have failed, been challenged, by and large, because they are unaware of the father nature that God put in them. That's on the inside of you. From the very beginning, starting with Adam, he had father nature. We lost that realization somewhere along the way. We call it sin. But other things than fatherhood have attracted their interest and attention. This is their downfall and their dysfunction. But all hope is not lost. I've got good news for you. Here's the problem, though. Wrong focus. Money, sports, worldly ambition, success, pleasure, fame. I'm sure the list can go on. But here's the right focus. You are a great husband. Dedicated father, blessing your children, instilling virtue, being kind daily, believing the best, asking for God's help in prayer, and have faith. That's the right focus. Not a bad prayer to start the day. How's it going to go today? Well, it can go several ways, but if you pray this prayer, it can only go one way. God, I thank you that you are making of me a great husband. I'm a dedicated father. Lord, I'm going to bless my children today, instill virtue. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to believe the best. I'm asking for your help, Lord, and I believe you will give it. It's a good prayer to start the day. Paul said, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. How many of you feel that pressure from time to time? I certainly do. In movies, television, culture, men and fathers are bumbling, clueless, predatorial, selfish, violent, unnecessary. Yeah, that's an ouch. That hurts, the way we're being portrayed now in our culture. But here's who you really are. You're created in God's image, equipped, blessed, capable, anointed, favored, crowned, able, filled, righteous. You're a good father. Yeah. There's a tape to play when you get up in the morning as well. Because you can get beat down during the day. Or just repeat it at night. And just remind yourself who you really are, not what the culture, not what television, not what the movies, not what comedians say you are. One night a father overheard his son pray, "God, make me the kind of man my daddy is." Later that night, the father prayed. He said, "God, make me the kind of man my son thinks I am." So I don't know if you ever watched TV and came across a channel that either grossed you out or just totally uninterested in. Aren't you glad you got a remote? You could just change that channel. Yeah. Sometimes I run across this channel that's these veterinarian surgeries. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Doctor somebody, and you're going, what? What's this? And you're in the middle of this gross operation, and they don't spare you any details. Now, my wife, Becky, wave your hand, Becky. She watches it. Yeah, another one called Botched. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. She's going, What's the problem? I can't get it off of the channel fast enough. It's like, yes. Oh, man, I think I just saw something. Well, in the same manner, there's some channels that you need to switch off of. There are some channels, I'm going to name them. It's called Not Good Enough. You ever had that one pop up? Would you watch it? No. How about Lousy Father? Is that a channel you want to watch? I'm Too Busy for My Family. Let's get it off of there. How about I'm an Idiot? Yeah, okay. Why would you ever want to watch those channels? You wouldn't watch those channels, but you know what? We watch them in our mind. We let them play out over and over again. Listen, God didn't just give you a remote for the TV. He gave you a remote in your mind to flip off of that channel. It's no fun to watch. I mean, it's depressing. Makes you want to give up. Well, that's what the remote is for. Let's turn it over to another channel that might help you. You got those negative channels on there? Well, there's some positive ones, and if they're not there, go ahead and put them on your favorite channels. See, they may not be in there now, but you put them in. I am well able. I am an excellent father. I am a superb husband. I make family a priority. I love my family, and my family loves me. Now, I'm just throwing this in there for free. I'm a good golfer. Yeah. I'm going to watch that one. But, Pastor, you don't know how bad I've messed up. How many times I've blown it as a father. But remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, every one of them messed up. Probably worse than you've messed up. And what did God do for them? He established them. He didn't stop loving them. He said, "You're still called. You're still going to fulfill your destiny. Nothing can stop you but you." How can I be forgiven? I'm so far from perfect. But yet, wait a minute. We have a perfect God who has perfect forgiveness for you. He's got perfect mercy. He's got perfect grace. In the Bible, there's no perfect fathers. Most are examples of what not to do. But there is one that Jesus revealed, and that is our Heavenly Father, who has perfect forgiveness, perfect redemption, perfect salvation, perfect love for everyone that has failed and blown it and unworthy. He accepts you. Jacob was a rebellious child. His children after him were rebellious, yet God promised him salvation in spite of his flaws. He didn't stop loving him, and he didn't revoke the covenant. So God's not worried about your failure either, where you mess up. All you just say is, God, I messed up, and God's saying, got you covered. Come on, let's get with it. Let's go after it again. You can do it. You are well able. You're anointed. You're favored. I'm providing everything you need for great fatherhood. But I've failed so many times. I mean, so many times. Now, I'm just speaking personally. I'm not saying you have. I'm saying I have. But the good news is, I will never exhaust the mercy, the patience, and the grace of God. Think of it this way. We can say it very many ways, why Jesus came to earth and what his ministry was. But here's the way I like to put it. His number one agenda was to reveal to his disciples what God was really like. And he said, he's like a father. They would always miss it. They'd always get it wrong. And he'd say, no, don't forget. He's your loving Heavenly Father. Peter said, how many times should I forgive? 70 times 7? Jesus had to show him the Father. The prodigal son who was lost, who was wayward. Any of us might have said, you know what, forget him. You know, he made his bed, let him lie in it. But there's the Father scanning the horizon, looking for his son who might come back one day. And sure enough, when he did, he didn't say, you know what, you've messed up so bad, why don't you just live out in the barn? No, threw him a party. We call it the prodigal son. I think we ought to call it the extravagant love of the Father. So, Jesus' relationship was with a good, good Father, and it was his best evangelistic tool. So your job, fathers, is to represent to the family the true nature of God. He is your loving Heavenly Father. So fathers, today, don't make your children earn everything and only experience your criticism. Why? That doesn't reflect our Heavenly Father. You want to reflect Him to your family. Give them your grace, your mercy, your patience, your kindness, your forgiveness. Let this outweigh everything. Your encouragement, your approval, your patience, and your unconditional love. I heard the testimony of a man who said that when he was a child, he said his father would come and tuck the boys in. And he said, but one particular night, my dad tucked me in and I felt good and secure. But when he left, for some reason, I got all afraid and nervous and feeling kind of panicky again. Well, his mother and father's room was right next to the boys' room. So he kind of shouted out to his father. He said, Dad. Yes, son. Is your face turned toward me? He said, yes, son. My face is turned toward you. The son just relaxed, got peace, and went to sleep. Well, I've got good news for you today. Your father's in heaven. Your father's face is turned toward you. We don't have to worry. We don't have to panic. We can be at rest. We can be at peace. The Father's face is turned towards you. To live in His love, live in His favor, His forgiveness, and even discipline for our good. And then pass it on to the rest of your family. Yeah, here's my closing quote. It may not close my sermon. It'll close my quote. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not from the battlefield, but in the home, repeating with him our simple daily prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. It really impresses me that was General Douglas MacArthur from World War II. So I hope you fathers today have felt some encouragement, maybe a little ammunition, a little grace to take back to your home. Practice it. Yeah. I practice golf. We need to practice our fatherhood. Yeah. We don't always do it perfectly, but you can improve with God's help, and we have His help. So take heart today. And wives, you can elbow your husband and say, "Get it?" And then you say, "Got it." All right, I'd like to close with an invitation. So this is one I'm sure we're all going to raise our hands on, maybe even the mothers. How many of you fathers think you possibly could do a better job at home being a good father? I'm not going to make you come down to the front. Too many of you, maybe 1,000 of you out here. I don't know. We don't have room at the altar for all of you. But just picture yourself up here, because this prayer is aimed towards you. Okay? Let's just all pray. And ladies in the church, y'all pray for the men of the church. Lord, we thank You that Your face is turned toward us. Your grace is flowing. Lord, You are eager to answer the prayers of men, of fathers, of husbands. You delight in that, Lord. So many things wrong in our society and in our culture. This is what I believe would fix them all. Good fathers. So, Lord, it can begin with us. It seems overwhelming sometimes when we look at statistics and fatherlessness in our society, in our culture, in our land. But Lord, we can make a difference right here where we live, in Your neighborhood, on Your street, in Lake Worth, wherever we may live. And so, Lord, we just accept that challenge. Lord, we are men who like adventure. And fatherhood is the greatest adventure of all. So strengthen us, empower us, remind us who we are, Lord. Anointed, capable, favored, blessed, well able, equipped, all the tools that we need. And when we feel empty, we can just come back to You and say, "Lord, I'm empty. What was that list again?" And then He'll remind us of who we are within His love. We love You, Lord. I'm praying that, Lord, for every man here. Of course, all the women as well, all the families, all the children, Lord. We lift them up, Lord. We believe You and we trust You that Your faith is turned toward us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless y'all. Nice to be with you today.